Okay, and that we spoke on Sunday about...
Yeah, but let me ask another point. If you guys are going to ask questions, you really should ask a specific question. Get out of this vague generality crap, because there's no way for you to really, really, really understand or relate to a please give me information about what we talked about. Even if you knew the subject of what we talked about, you can't really pin down that as a context of the dream very well. But anyway, go ahead. We'll allow it this time.
This time, we will.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Maybe you shouldn't.
But go ahead.
Go ahead. The question was related to the process involved in living memories and the process involved in living memory I became very satisfied in our conversation that I have for decades, if not lifetimes, lived my memories.
Now you see how broad that is, that it's almost next to nothing as far as at least as far as I'm concerned, as far as a context is concerned. If it's very specific to you, tell us what it is.
Well, the dream ended up being very specific.
I know the dream always is. I'm talking about if the question is, the dream can be very specific, but how can we know for sure what aspect of talking about living memory or memories it's talking about?
Well, do you want to hear the dream? I think it'll become quite clear.
Oh, okay, then.
It turned out to be multiple dreams, but the same dream dreamed over and over again from about 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning. But the scenario changed slightly, but the underlying was there. In the first dream, I became aware of another way of living than I had been living, and it became my task and desire to go out and show others that there was another way of living.
Okay, Andrew, what's the incipit?
Could you say it again, Pat? You had become aware of another way of living and you went out to tell other people?
And it became clear to me that it was my task and desire to go out and show other people that there was another way of living.
Okay. So I think the incipit is, Patrick, say the last part of the sentence again.
And it was my desire to,
yeah,
and show others that there was another way of living.
Okay, so I guess the incipit is going to be his desire to go out, and intent to go out and show other people this other way of living.
That's part of it.
So we also would include the part about that he had learned another way of living.
Why would you not? If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass. But if you leave the front part off, the last part doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I guess for me I was, okay, that's fine. I just had kind of blocked it all together in that last part.
Well,
if you don't have to talk to people, it would be about what he learned. That's all.
Well,
so, yeah, of course, I definitely want to include that.
So then, tell me again, what is the incipit?
The incipit is what Patrick had learned about another way of living and his desire and intention to go out and share that with others.
How did you read it, Patrick?
The that I read it to mean that I had...
No, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, how did you read it?
Read the dream?
The first
sentence. No, just the line. Just read the line again.
Oh, I had become aware that there was another way of living, and it became clear that it was my task and my desire to go out and show others about this other way of living.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't mishear something in there, because I know that as the dream goes on, that it's going to be misinterpreted. But okay, there, we've got it now. Andrew has it reasonably clear in his mind, so we can go to the next line.
There is no next line.
Okay,
but there is a next dream.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Next dream.
The next dream is what I was in the next dream. I was a consultant that was showing businesses another way of operating their businesses.
What's the incipit, Andrew?
The same one that he read before.
You're kidding me.
So Pat had learned a new way of living. What? We're not taking these as...
This is a second dream, and you're telling me the incipit of the second dream is the incipit of the first dream?
That's what I was saying, yes.
Good for you.
She didn't have to do it.
You know, you don't have to do it quite that way, Roger. I think it throws...
Wait a minute. I just want to find out if you are...
I know. Just, I think it might throw people off.
So now we're back to the same thing. The incipit of the second dream is... Why can you say that... And this I'm asking you, Patrick. Why can we say that the incipit of the second dream is the same as the incipit of the first dream?
Because the same pattern was there.
No. Next.
No?
No.
Because he...
The next... That was a short duration dream. Now the third dream.
I didn't give me my answer. Why can you say at the second dream that the incipit is the same as the first dream? You said the pattern is similar. I said no.
How about the action is similar?
No.
I said it has something to do with Patrick declared something and then a series of dreams took place. And I think the series...
What do you mean he declared something? I don't understand.
He asked a question. He wanted information on a dream. Give him information on what you guys talked about. Living memories and memory.
Well, so then give me an answer.
Well, I say he made a declaration and a series of dreams occurred, and I think that...
What was the declaration? He didn't make a declaration. He asked a question.
Okay. He asked a question. That's what I'm trying to say.
What was the question about?
He wanted to understand more about what you guys had talked about on Sunday about living memory and memories.
So, how does that answer the question as to why is the second dream, the incipit of the second dream, the same as the incipit of the first?
You know, I guess I don't know the technical answer. What I have a picture of here is that he's asked a question, a dream occurs, another dream occurs, no different than a passage and a passage or a line and a line occurs.
Come on, what was the subject, Patrick? What was the context of these dreams?
The context was a new way of, another way of living.
No, that had not. That was the incipit. What the hell was the context of these dreams?
I think it was your question.
That wanting to know more about living the two ways of living a life, living my life.
What two ways?
I didn't hear that, I'm sorry.
What two ways?
My memory or memories?
living by memories and living by memory.
Then why can you say that the context or incipit, excuse me, of the second dream is the same as the first? Memories, memories.
Is that where you were going?
Of course.
I don't know why necessarily I would have thought of that.
Because, well, you should have. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. And so, therefore, the context has set a context. We're talking about memories. And then it gives you an incipit and talks about what little bit there was in the first dream. The second dream is doing it all over again relative to his business. That's memories.
Can I have a question for you?
Okay.
Just curious why, like, memories per se, I know because he set the question, but I guess where I was tracking it more was, like, maybe ways, different ways and manners he has expressed this sharing in his life.
It doesn't make any difference. This is what we've said. Memories, are you doing the same damn thing differently? You're still doing the same thing. So, if he talks about it, I learned of a new way of, and that means understanding these things, and I was going to go out and show people, then the second dream is talking about putting all of this into his business. It's the same thing. It's okay. Just a different expression of the same thing.
And I get that it's a different expression of the same thing, for sure.
Then, if you're living a different expression of the same things, are you not living memories?
I don't know.
Well, guess.
I'll take your word for it.
Make a wild ass guess.
Take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
What did you think memories were all about, Andrew? Memories is that you keep repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again, even though it looks different. It's the same thing, but you're expecting different outcomes. That's memories.
All right. Let's go with that.
Gee whiz. Patrick,
what's the next line?
Do you understand that, Patrick?
Yes, I do, and that kind of relates, does it not, to what I do in one area of my life, I'm going to do that in other or all areas of my life?
Yes, of course. So if you're not doing what you truly desire in one area of your life, you can reasonably assume that you're probably not doing, or that you are not doing, as you truly desire in every area of your life.
Yep, that's clear to me, yep.
And that's how insidious a lot of this is, because we think, oh, well, yeah, sure, but I love my life. Well, sure, I hate my wife, but I love my life. I don't think that's right. Okay, let's carry these memories on. What is dream number
third,
number three?
Number three is that I came into the dream aware that the senior government, like NBC or the provincial government, had made a grant available for local government municipalities to learn a new way of operating their municipalities. And I took on the task of showing the local government, municipalities, how to apply for the grant money so that they could begin operating their municipalities in this new way.
Okay, now, assuming everything we've said, what's the incipit?
It's the same.
Well, tell me so that I know you know that I know you know.
I have become aware of a new way of doing things.
Okay.
And I want to
You want to what?
And I want to show others.
And that shows up in three, in that that you've the government has granted you the right then to show local governments. This is that okay?
That's right.
I mean, I'm converting it into the continuous translation. Who is the Canadian government in this dream? No, excuse me. Wait a minute. Stop. I got a question first.
Yep.
Why do you think it is wrong for you to do what you said in dream number one?
Why do I think it's wrong?
Yeah.
Because I think I might.
What?
He said something, but we didn't hear it.
I can't hear you.
We didn't hear what he said.
Oh, did you say something to me, Patrick? My engineer said you didn't hear what I said. Is something going on?
I said, I'm afraid I will screw it up.
Andrew, do you have anything to add or subtract from that?
No, I have nothing to add or subtract from that.
I'm talking to Andrew. What does dream number three say about all of this?
Oh, I get that.
Did you just get it?
It was forming in my mind a few minutes ago, but it's really clear now.
What's that?
Because God let me do it.
Ah, so that's why I asked you that afraid, because you afraid that you don't have the authority or right to do that. And number three then says that, in a sense, God has granted you or given you the authority and right to do that.
That's exactly what that third one is. A higher power granted that authority to me to do it.
And what is the local powers, the local constabulary or whatever, however you all call it up there, what is the local government?
Local government's just ordinary folks who make sure there's pavement on the roads and garbage.
Yeah, but I meant, considering number one, who is the local government?
Oh, that's just ordinary people.
Just everybody. See how clearly when you start and you've given yourself a context, then an incipit, and you've got that context because you asked the question, and then you have an incipit all along. In this case, since we're discussing memories, you can carry that incipit. You could say the incipit of each dream after that is kind of like a subtitle.
Yes.
Okay. Number four?
Nope, that was it. That was the last one.
Well, I'm glad you had that dream, and you'll see why I asked you to do the dream is so that you could, the title of our little talk tonight is called Actions and Memories. So, I want you to answer, I'm going to give you five questions, and I want you to answer the five questions as we go along. I want you to commit to your answer, yes or no. Simone, go get a piece of paper and a pencil. But keep quiet.
Yes,
okay. But keep quiet about your answer. And I don't want you yet to answer out loud, but when we discuss it, I want you to give us your answer, but I want you to be quiet about your whys, your explanations, or your opinions. We'll discuss whys, explanations, or opinions later. Then I'll tell you why I ask these questions, and we can discuss that. Everybody understand?
I think so.
Okay, so. If you lost an arm and a leg in Iraq, do you believe you could live a full and satisfying life? That was question number one. Question number two. Do you think that Michael J. Fox, I'm assuming everybody knows who Michael J. Fox is. If you don't, then just pass on this question. Do you think that Michael J. Fox can live a full and a satisfying life? And don't play word games with the word can. Question number three. Does it seem that Stephen Hawking is living a full and satisfying life? I'm not asking you to get into Stephen Hawking's pants. I'm asking you to give me your opinion of Stephen Hawking. Number four. Do you believe a breast cancer survivor, to use her words, I've talked to you about a gal in Boston named Cotta, to use her words, can have a full and satisfying life? Someone who says, I'm a breast cancer survivor, can they have a full and satisfying life? From Ronald Reagan's point of view, do you believe he lived a full and satisfying life? Hey, there's a simple question. Okay, now I want some answers. Answer number one. If you lost an arm, I'll start with Pat. If you lost an arm and a leg in Iraq, do you believe you could live a full and satisfying life?
Yes.
Andrew?
Yep. I think I could.
Is Sally there?
Nobody but me here.
She what? Nobody but you. Okay. Simone?
Yes.
Anybody else want to answer? Sharon, Percent,
Sharon.
Angela, who else is on it?
Isaac.
Who did that come
Which
from?
Which thing, Isaac?
Oh yeah, I forgot about Isaac.
Did you hear me?
Yes, I did. Who is that?
Sharon.
Oh, hey, you're there. How about you, Karen? I didn't hear from you.
Sharon. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, but I haven't heard from Karen.
Yes.
How about Isaac? Come on, Isaac. Open your lips and say something.
I think I heard a yes from far and away.
I don't know. Okay. Yep. Now, every yes person, why did you say yes? Now I want to discuss some whys and explanations or opinions. Why did you say yes to that?
I said yes, I think I could because I have begun to recognize that I am not my body and my life is what? My life is a lot of ways the story I'm telling myself about it, not the events and circumstances that occur.
Okay. Patrick?
Similarly, the loss of an arm and a leg would be my body's loss, not my loss, and that I would find other ways of expressing that weren't dependent on four limbs.
Sharon? Karen? Isaac?
I would say contentment is in the mental, not in the physical anyway.
Okay. Karen? Isaac? Anyone?
I think I can live a full and satisfying life because I can look at loss of arm and leg and learn more about, no, not learn, know more about myself.
I got a feeling that your answer is really, really, really no.
Well, I kind of got stuck in, if somebody lives an arm and a leg, loses an arm and a leg, are they living a full and satisfying life? Would they say they are living a full and satisfying life?
That's not the question. I'm asking your opinion, could they?
I think they
could. Or could you? Could you? Excuse me. I'm asking you about you in that. That's why I started that first one. If you, I cut off your arm and a leg, can you live... Or could you live a full and satisfying life? I'm just asking about you.
Yes, I could. With further investigation into myself.
What does that mean?
I think at that moment, it's likely I'm not.
Why?
Because...
I didn't ask you whether you are. You're going to say, well, because I lost an arm and a leg, that means I was doing something wrong and I lost an arm and a leg. Oh, woe is me.
Oh, but no, I didn't say that.
I just added to it a little bit.
No, you did, but that's not what I was saying.
What were you saying when you said that I probably was not?
I likely was not.
Likely was not. What did you mean by likely was not?
I'm thinking if I lost a leg, let's start with a leg. I am, there is something going on with my understandings, intentions, desires, purposes, all that stuff that is not working for me.
But
I'm not living my, I'm not awarefully living my privileged beingness.
Well, y'all are getting this all mixed up here, but that's okay. That's the purpose of this, asking these questions. Don't you understand that an event shows how you are or were at that point living your self in life? And I asked you, could you live from that moment on?
Well, yeah. So then the answer is yes, I could live from that moment on a full and satisfying life.
So we're saying that the consequence or... of losing your arm and a leg, you may say then, well, yeah, well, I was doing all that shit before. It doesn't mean I have to keep doing it.
That's right. It doesn't prevent me from doing anything.
Okay.
It doesn't prevent me from anything.
So you may not run, jump, and throw balls and do all that stuff or dressage as good or well as you did before, but you could do other actions then that could be just as fulfilling and satisfying as that?
Sure.
Okay. Question number two. Do you think that Michael J. Fox can live a full and satisfying life? Sharon, we got to ask the doc here.
Yes.
You want to tell us why?
Because it's all in the way he looks at it with contentment.
Well, let's put it...
Okay, with...
So then, what makes... From what you know of Michael J. Fox, only by hearing him on the TV or whatever, is there anything you hear about Michael J. Fox that allows you to say, yeah, hey, man, I think he can?
Yes, he's used it to his advantage to help others. It's not been a limitation in his life. He chose not to make it a limitation. He chose not to live in the discontent of his disability.
Well, that was well done. Okay, anybody want to add to that? Patrick? Andrew? Sharon? Karen? Isaac? Mr. Quiet Isaac? Okay, we'll go on to number three.
What disability does Michael J. Fox out picture?
He has...
He has Parkinson's.
Is what?
He has Parkinson's.
No, he has Lou Gehrig's disease. Doesn't he?
Oh, he does now? No, it's Parkinson's.
Oh, that's right. It's Parkinson's.
Yeah. Lou Gehrig's disease might be a little bit harder to cope with simply because your time is a little more limited, and that's just in your face that you know it's limited. When
actually,
we're all fooling ourselves.
Actually, that number three is Stephen Hawking has Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
There you go. That's right.
So then we're on to question number three. Does it seem that Stephen Hawking is living a full and satisfying life?
Absolutely. Yes.
See, I put no.
You what?
I put no.
All right. Why no?
Well, maybe I'm wrong about that. I
don't care. I just say, why do you say that?
I'll say why I put no. If I looked at a disease as an actively going process, and I said that the beliefs that he's living out picture as a deterioration of his muscles and his empowerments in life and et cetera, then I would assume that with that belief actively going, no, he cannot.
The point of it is that Lou Gehrig's disease portrayed what he was doing 40 years ago. And changing your attitude doesn't necessarily mean changing the disease or illness, as Fox changing his attitude doesn't resolve Parkinson's, and changing your attitude won't grow an arm and leg.
Well, right. So I guess there was my reconsideration, because as I I remembered he was actually diagnosed that he would die years and decades ago.
That's actually right. Anybody with no one has lived that long with Lou Gehrig's disease.
So I reconsidered my no.
So what we're saying here is then maybe he is living a full and satisfying life in spite of that, and that's what's keeping him going.
Okay.
Whereas with Lou Gehrig itself, with the disease, Lou Gehrig couldn't do, like playing baseball, the thing that he had set as his way or life. So he didn't last very long. So number four, do you believe a breast cancer survivor, and that's using this gal's words, can have a full and satisfying life?
I went no with that one. What did anybody else do?
Patrick?
I said yes.
Well, give me a... Somebody's playing with their speaker.
Or their phone,
yeah. Give us a yes answer.
Give you.
Yes answer is that the absence of a breast should not be an impairment to living a full and fulfilling life.
All right, except that I ask right. You, can that person have a full and satisfying life? And I quoted her words, being a breast cancer survivor keeps her in the old thoughts and problems and difficulties.
Right.
And the word survivor, etc., was the reason for my no.
So we're saying then that one, or I'm saying in asking this question, maybe then that is, her attitude or the consequences, oh, I've got this cancer, but I survived it. In one way or another, in memory, she's carrying that on with her attitude and way of life that, well, I don't think she can really live a full and satisfying life. She could, but I don't think she can. Is that okay?
But you didn't ask about our opinions, did you?
Yeah, I'm asking your opinion.
Yeah, but now you're speaking from her point of view.
No, I'm speaking of...
I'm
speaking of my point of view, of her point of view. The question was, do you think? So I'm asking for your opinion about that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know where your mind is going in each of these things. Is that okay?
Well, I missed, or I did not pay attention to what you were saying about breast cancer survivor. I thought that was kind of an aside.
No, that's the point. I even emphasized that by saying, to use her words, if she's still speaking that, then that that fear or doubt or struggle or whatever is still in her mind and body and action.
Okay, I agree, yes.
Well, I've got to say that in Western medicine right now...
We can't hardly hear you, Sharon.
I said in Western medicine it's just kind of a silly term.
Well, yeah, but I don't... We don't necessarily have to talk about the terms or what medicine. I'm talking about... If that is there, she is saying these things and repeating these things, then isn't it likely that regardless of where or why that comes up, she is, by memories, carrying on the same old problem?
And being the victim.
And being the victim.
Mm-hmm.
I survived right. Being the victim.
And it is true that I do have breast cancer patients who've gone through the surgery, and they say, I did have breast cancer. They don't say, I'm a breast cancer survivor.
Or even did or survival is a non-issue. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
That was what I did before. I don't do that now. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
But if you're carrying it on, then you're still living that crap.
I agree.
Okay. All right. From Ronald Reagan's point of view, do you believe he had a full and satisfying life? Yes or no? Patrick?
No.
Andrew?
No, Alzheimer's. He wanted to forget it.
Okay. Sharon?
Actually, I sort of thought he did, and he just laughed.
But isn't that then likely to be an indication that it really wasn't satisfying for him? Okay. The reason for these questions is as follow. The first three, losing an arm and a leg, can you? Yes. Does it seem that Stephen Hawking? No. The second one was Michael J. Fox.
Michael J.
Can live a full and satisfying life? Yes. Does it seem that Stephen Hawking is living a full and satisfying life? Yes. They are living by actions. We ended up last week by Patrick asking me to give him an example of living by actions. 1, 2, and 3 is an example of living by actions. 4, breast cancer survivor is really living by consequences and probably cannot. Ronald Reagan to me, his Alzheimer's indicate the consequences of his life were something he even really wanted to forget. So the answer to me is he probably didn't, as far as he's concerned, have a full and satisfying life. Does that clear up anything, Patrick?
Yes.
That means that to live by actions, no matter the consequences, that the consequences are of, let's say, no issue. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's very actually interesting. But when you talk about those first three, living by actions, I guess I certainly didn't see Michael J. Fox living by actions, but I didn't look at it that way either.
But he is. His actions are, he's not woe is me consequenting. He's out actively involved in Parkinson, and he's even in another movie and stuff like that.
Yeah, he acts still, right. That's what I'm saying. It's like interesting because I just didn't look at it that way, but now that
the point of it is, when you're talking to somebody, so you're beginning to ask, okay, how you feel about it. Like, you can tell how the breast cancer feels. You can say the illness. Probably by asking them how they feel, you begin to understand, are they living consequences or actions?
Right.
You okay with this, Patrick?
Yeah.
I mean, this was your question. I'm trying to answer this question in that regard. And so the illustrations of 1, 2, and 3, to me, illustrate living by actions. And 4 and 5 clearly illustrate living by consequences. And the next question is, yes, 4 and 5, well, Ronald Reagan can't because he died. But 4 and 5 could, were they willing to change their view of life and themselves in life? Is that all right?
Yeah, you know, that's the best explanation of why someone could, or how someone could, I think I've ever heard. I just didn't really understand why. I was like, sure, positive attitude and stuff. No, living by actions. It makes sense.
That's right. You have to, not the attitude doesn't matter in that regard. If it's not, let's say, complemented with actions or fulfilled with actions, attitudes be damned. Your actions will, subvert or drown your attitudes. Your actions will prevail.
Well, your actions speak louder than words, yeah.
Yeah. Actions speak louder than action, than attitude.
Yep.
Okay, well, that was that. It was just, I was just thought I might answer your questions. Now, tell me how that fits into your dream, Patrick.
All three dreams, they were actions. But
Wait just a minute now. I mean, I don't know where you're going, but that's why I wanted to interrupt before you get committed to something here. You give me a dream and its actions. You give me a talk and explain it and its actions. So, yeah, it's all actions. The question is, start very carefully. What do you think is the new way of living that you have discovered?
It is living by memory rather than exclusively in memories.
Well, let's back off again.
I want to ask you a question before you go too far off that.
Go.
Just checking, Patrick, I'd just like to know what, to you, the word memory, with the emphasis on it, means to you.
It is the... good question.
Okay. let me put my two cents in right here. The only difference between memory and memories is memory gives you a whole picture and memories is something that you break down into data and rearrange.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, who's scraping their plate?
Say that again, please.
Memory gives you a whole picture and or image, whatever the case may be, and memories is something that you disassemble and reassemble.
Okay, right. I think we said before, memory is like a who, a self, an identity, a concept. That's a whole.
Sure, but there's lots of holes.
Stuff.
That doesn't limit it to a you. Memory is a whole. Period.
No, it doesn't.
But then
right,
it's a whole event, a whole occurrence, a whole situation, a whole everything. It is not something that you have disassembled and reassembled.
It surprises me, the whole event part.
What?
I guess I see what you're saying. Well, I don't know, I guess because an event is so many things that happen. I know you take the smallest part, so I just hadn't thought of it that way, as a whole.
Memory comes from, if two particles, once entangled, are then separated an infinite distance apart, and you affect one particle, the other particle responds instantaneously as though still entangled with the first particle. And Einstein said, holy mackerel, that's immediate happening. There is no, they're not two particles communicating, it's immediate. As though they were still entangled. That's spooky, isn't it? What's going on? What I said was going on was memory is going on. In other words, they are still in action as though entangled still. And so an event is not something that when it happens, the other one reassembles it and says, well, maybe I'll react, maybe I won't. It reacts as though in whole by memory it is still entangled with the other particle. Blow that up to soulmates, you got the same thing. Blow that up to any situation of multiple particles and you have the same thing. So whether it's pieces, parts, an event, we could say, all right, then memory shows you or repeats or gives you a picture or image. Wait a minute. That means a dream is a memory. It is not memories. So a dream in that regard then gives you a whole picture. It is not an assemblage of what you have disassembled and recreated. Pausing for comments.
Thanks for clarifying that.
What you guys have done is, in my opinion, is like taking emergent as emergent causing is good and right and better and best, and cause and effect is not so good, bad, not so effective. You've done the same thing here, is that memory, why, is good, right, better, best, and memories is not so good. What actually I could say to you is, wait a minute, maybe memories, i.e. S, is even better Because you get to create and arrange the memories, i.e., you truly desire. Is that okay?
But when the particle is divided in two, and the one half acts accordingly to the other half, is that reassembling? Is that not a repeating?
No. Only do when you cut the particle in half in that regard is just create two halves out of the same particle, etc. When assembling and reassembling would be if you disturbed the one half and the other half says, wait a minute, I got to think about that. Let's see what happened. Oh, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to do that. Well, okay, I'll do this. That's what you do in memories.
Okay.
So, that means that in the universe, a dynamic process of the universe is, hey, guy, you can either relive the same event all over again, or you can have a piece, you can disassemble it and recreate it however you want. Which would you choose? What if it also means then that, wait a minute, you could recall the event to memory to experience that wholeness in memory so that you could then disassemble that memory and reassemble it in memories as you want. How about them apples?
All right, say it one more time. I could disassemble what? The memory.
You could recall an event.
Yep.
5 years ago.
Like getting my leg.
Or whatever. You could recall that to memory. Mm-hmm. And experience that. And then disassemble that experience and reassemble it as you want. So you have the chance and choice of living it as it was and experiencing that way, or and putting that into your memories of yourself, or disassembling all of that and reassembling it the way you want, and then use and then live that set of memories. Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah, you've added a whole bunch of, well, you haven't added, I'm hearing a whole bunch that I've missed before, and that this, that, and you're making it very clear that functioning with both is highly desirable.
Well, how might it be, let me see if I can get this across, how might it be that you missed all of that?
Because I was dissembling and reassembling and trying to fit it into something I already knew.
And what is it that might be? What might it be that you were assembling or disassembling or doing that, in a sense, you missed it all?
Living by memories.
What does that mean? What was he doing?
Putting into language of pieces and parts and cause and effect.
Well, I don't disagree. But what was he doing? Well, ask Pat. What was he doing?
Was I languaging it to myself as you were speaking, and I only understood one part of it?
Let's assume that. What is the basis of language?
There is a subject of something.
What's the basis of language?
That there is a subject that does something.
What's the pattern of language? What's the basis of, essentially, basis of language? base of language is duality, right, wrong.
Okay.
No duality, then language doesn't work. You can't lay it on any pattern without that duality make out a pattern of language that makes sense. You can't say anything that makes sense. I'm being wild when I say that, but for a moment. So you guys set memories as a bad and memory as a good. Memory as a superior, memories as an inferior. That puts things, screws to things, because it disregard. When we said 2 plus 3 equals 5, which is greater, the whole 5 or the pieces and parts?
Well, I suppose it depends on what you mean by greater. You mean more?
Yeah, all right, more.
So 5 is a singular thing, and 4 is 2 plus 3 is a multiple thing.
Okay. So what we've said is that 5 is just 5. Oneness, wholeness, completeness is something. But
yes, something.
Separation and parts now can become 2 plus 3, 4 plus 1, 100 minus 95. So it is the parts and pieces assembled however you want that is far, far greater or more than the whole or the oneness. Is this correct?
Yeah, not only do you see whatever relationship you see, you also have other ways of relating the pieces how you want.
So then, seeing the whole of the event or living it or responding to the whole of the event relative to memory is like a 5, but rearranging and disassembling and putting it back together again like a memories is like 6 minus 1, 4 plus 1, 100 minus 95. So memories are actually, in a sense, greater or more than memory. You understand this, Patrick?
I think I'm beginning to get there.
So memory allows you to then live that oneness or that wholeness of that event, or memories allows you to choose how and in what way you will live that, which then gives you options up the kazoo, or you give yourself options up the kazoo. So we can say that memories, IES, is more than memory of anything, the whole of anything in memory is far, far, far less than memories.
Okay, I think I got that.
Do you understand this, Patrick?
Well, I got a question that I think in previous conversations we spoke of memories limits us to our life experience and often guides us into repeating the same thing over and over and over again.
No, you do that. You do that. You use memories that way.
While memory gives me access to virtually infinite data and information through entanglement.
Aha! But what good that it gives you that information, let's say, through entanglement, unsullied, and you get to then apply that through memories to yourself and live it any way you want.
So I have trouble actually with the notion of one being somehow greater, better than the other.
No, wait. Greater only means more thing, or that you're not limited. You're more limited by memory than memories. What I said was, I think you've come off from what we've said before, thinking that memory Y is good or better, superior, right way to live than memories, i.e.
Yes, but I'm sensing now that working the two together as I desire is pretty damn neat.
Wait a minute. Stop. That's dream number one. Dream number three says, damn right, you don't have to deal with what's right, good, better, best.
Yeah.
Well, now, if you're recording this, you go back and listen exactly to what you just said, and you just spoke dream number one. But you may be hesitant to do that because you're still hanging on to good, better, right, wrong, do I have the authority? Dream number three says you have the authority both to see it, that awareness, and to teach and live that awareness. Huh? Is that okay?
That's very okay.
All right. Now, whenever we've talked about forever living stuff, what is always been your first question for 17 years?
How do I do that?
That's part of it, but how do you do that in what regard, Patrick?
Well,
how do I live as I truly desire?
No.
In a practical way.
Well, closer, Andrew, keep going.
I don't know, in the real world?
Oh, as far as Patrick is concerned, in terms of his clients, and it's dream number two.
Oh, right, okay.
Isn't that your first question, Patrick?
Yeah.
How do I put this into my life, into my business? I can't just live this antsy fancy stuff. Dream number two. What?
I was just saying, I covered all the bases in those dreams, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So, individual, in business, and with God?
Yes, that he can, because he now begins to understand the relationship between memory and memories. Now you can live that and apply that in everything, because you now feel... Well, if that's the case, then the dream says I have the authority to do that.
Yes.
Is it okay to have the authority to do that, Patrick?
It sure as hell is.
Okay, if you then do have that authority, a lot of what we're going to talk about in August is more about, I've got three sessions just on memory and memories. So entanglement then allows you, or DNA, let's call it that. DNA then allows you a telephone line to memory. Everything that's in your body has ever touched, thought, or anything else. And then in seeing that, knowing that, understanding that, you can put that into memories and assemble that any way you want to. Is that okay, Patrick?
That's really, really neat, and I'm trying to write a couple of notes very discreetly.
I'm going to ask you a question. It's a vital, make your life, save your life, or it'll screw you all up. You got to give the right answer.
This is a language question.
I don't want you to be nervous or concerned.
Well,
Everything about your life depends on this, but don't get nervous.
All right.
If you want to continue in life, is it possible for you to see that Patrick today is a constituent of someone or something in the future?
Well, that's interesting. Oh, shit. Why didn't I think of that before? I mean, it's kind of like it was in the picture. I just never pulled that out as a statement of realization.
Of course. And you see, now all of a sudden we can pull that out and say, then if you are a constituent, let's call it, in a greater or bigger or other or different or fuller or whatever, if you pull that out of that in that way, are you as a constituent not, you don't continue? It's like oxygen doesn't continue in water as a constituent, yet you can't say that oxygen does not continue. It does. Because we can pull oxygen directly out of water and get oxygen and hydrogen. We can go right back all over again. So is it possible for you to see then that when I say you do not continue, but you do not not continue, that it might be that you are a constituent of yourself as a greater other being?
Yes.
Doesn't that?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm like seeing right here is I guess I've always related myself to individual Andrew primarily, but hadn't really thought about the larger context. And when you put it that way as a constituent, yeah, I definitely get the sense that who I really am, really, really, really am, is something, I don't know, I say bigger other than Andrew. It's more like a longer process that's going on.
So that when you try to maintain Patrick or Andrew per se, you're holding yourself back from your, let's call it, constituent duties. Or what you can bring as the finest constituent possible.
Yeah, well, and also your real memory of yourself, your true nature.
Oh, so wait a minute, let me see this.
In some undefined way, yeah.
But even the constituent can, through memories, determine the finest that that person will, or that constituent will be.
Okay. Can you say that again, please?
I say, if you understand this, then it means that all these things we've talked about, that you, Patrick, can be a constituent of, we'll call it, something. But not only are you a constituent of, let's call it, something greater, you get to choose the expression of yourself, that you create like a self-replicating particle. You as a constituent even get to choose the constituency or constituentness of yourself. Is that okay?
That is very okay.
That's what?
So this gives me all the power.
What do you got to do, Simone? Yeah, I got the power. What's wrong with just like these five questions? Does it power? I have the right and full authority to live as I truly desire and live even greater than as I truly desire, and in that become this tremendous constituent in something even greater than that. How about that? Does that sound better than I got the power?
No, I like the power.
Yeah, well, the power is going to kill you. Take my word for it.
Why?
Well, I'm not going to go through that.
I think it's my authority.
Sure it is. Ah, but wait just a minute. Wait a minute. You have the authority, but exercising your authority as power will destroy you.
Okay, I see. Yes.
Why, are we talking power over?
Yes.
Who's got the power?
Probably, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I meant it in the sense of authority, yes, over myself. Yes.
Not over yourself. Authority of yourself, not over yourself.
Of myself.
You should not have authority or power over yourself in any way. But if you want to say that as power and authority of myself, not over myself or anyone else.
Yes, of.
Well, gee whiz. Patrick, I want you to, maybe you could come along in August with the attitude is, I want to find out more about that.
I think I can come along with that attitude, absolutely.
Well, bring that attitude with you. Because that's what we're, not only that, but we're going to try to show you some of that. We're trying to show you that the constituent of yourself that you are, how you can even enhance that constituentness of yourself, which enhances you, whatever enhance might mean. And then maybe out of all of this you can begin getting a glimpse of, wait a minute now, if a self-replicating particle chooses the particles that replicate the original particle, maybe we could get an image of this self that has chosen you for you to replicate that original self. How about them apples?
Them's pretty big apples.
Did you think life was just this crappy old stuff that we go through all the time?
Yes.
Get out of it. Well, there is apples more like I've been trying to get across, and we're going to do a whole bunch of experiments to see how you might enhance that awareness in yourself all the time. And you can enhance that. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. If I enhance that awareness in myself, doesn't that maybe give me access to, through DNA or whatever otherwise other than that, doesn't that give me access to memory that I can even enhance through memories?
Is that understanding the pictures?
What?
Or the images?
Yeah.
When I enhance dreams and memory by understanding, then I understand the pictures and the visions.
Okay. What else then could you, as a constituent, Patrick, following this pattern of access, entanglement, memory, and memories. You, Patrick, what else, using just those processes, might you as a dynamic constituent do?
Yeah, I think I get to shape the whole, the other, that I am a constituent of.
Well, what about, what? So what else could you do? Or I am a constituent of this big thing, what the hell is that thing going to be? what could you as a constituent do right now today?
Declare the shape and nature of the other, the whole.
How could you do that? Well, let me put it simply.
Yeah, okay.
Do you suppose that you could change or alter the nature of the other constituents?
I could change or alter the nature of the other constituents?
Yes. I'm asking you, could you do that?
I don't think so.
Would you like to do that?
Well, what comes up for me is that if I can change others, then others can change me.
Who said?
Well, I'm just saying that it is following the proposition that I can change or alter other constituents. Doesn't that follow that other constituents...
Get out of logic. Aristotle was wrong. I don't care about logic and I don't care about language. Get out of it. Think.
Okay. I can add to the wholeness that is the, you know, the completeness of the other and have you know, simply put, teach others how they can be, and that they can alter, or they can change, or will change.
What happens if we talk about a self-replicating particle replicates particles that replicate the original particle? Does that have any applicability here?
I'm having problems associating or getting an image of the relationship with other constituents.
Let's call other constituents past lives. Now talk to me.
Ah. I can't seem to get there right now, Roger.
We accumulate past lives, or we choose past lives to replicate ourselves today, do we not?
Yes.
If you're involved with constituents, could you not choose those constituents to replicate you today?
Absolutely, I follow that, yes.
So, do those constituents have to, in that, do the constituents have to change?
No.
So then, in a sense, they change because you could pick other constituents.
Oh, in that sense, I can choose anyone and all that I want.
Then you've changed the other constituents in what's going on.
I've changed the recipe.
You've changed the recipe in that regard because you have chosen other past lives, or you have chosen other constituents to replicate you.
Then see, yes, I'm beginning to see what you're talking about. Yes, yes,
okay.
I can do that.
If you are a constituent, and you and your past lives, your memories, your memory and stuff, if you are a constituent in, allow me these words, a greater being, who are you?
The greater being.
Thank you kindly. And that's where we're going to go. That's what it's all about. You are both the constituent, and you can choose the other constituents that you include in this, and you are an important right now constituent in that, we'll allow the word, greater being. And yet, at that point, you are the greater being that you are creating as a constituent of that greater being, in the same way as the past lives create the original particle. You are the greater being creating the constituents of yourself, which you are a constituent of right now.
I'll mind map that. No, I get that, yeah.
I mean, if you can just get a sense of that, we're at a starting point.
Yes, I can.
Okay, have you got a sense of that?
Yes.
Two questions. Can you begin to see how memory and memories vitally play an active part in all of that?
Oh, they're essential. Absolutely essential.
If you can get a grasp of that, can we say then that relative to memory and memories, as we talked about on Sunday, you have discovered new way to live?
That would be correct.
Dream number one. Would you have, would you have any doubts or questions about telling others about that?
Now that we've gone through what we've gone through today, I would have no doubts.
But you have no doubts because of Dream 3 that says you do have the authority.
Son of a gun.
And you could live that as soon as you sense this and kind of feel for it, you could do that in every daily action of your life.
And that was Dream 2.
That was Dream 2. And that was the questions today. Because in all of that, you're living by, as a constituent, the actions of the constituent, not the consequences of the constituent. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. It sort of makes moot a couple questions I have been thinking about since yesterday, and that, you know, Forever Living talks about we live our lives through thought, belief, word, action, and attitude and action.
Yeah.
I wondered in my questioning whether any of those could be mushed together as similar or synonyms for action.
They are action. Wait a minute. Believing, thinking, attituding, emotioning, speaking, and actioning, they are already actions. And in fact, as I selected those six things, simply because they seem to cover everything you could possibly do. It's going to fall into one of those descriptions or not. They are actions themselves. You live by your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, or do you live by the consequences of your... If you live by the consequences of those, then you live by your judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And only in living by those actions do you really, as listening to Simone say this, only in that way do you have the damn power of memory and memories to live as you truly desire and to create yourself as you truly desire.
Son of a bitch, let me tell you, that ever neat.
And right wrong only has, as I've said before, you never judge the actions, you only judge the consequences or the presumed consequences, so right wrong in that regard keeps you stuck in consequences just like the last two, and you can't live a full and satisfying life, and in my opinion, except only by living by actions and memorying, allow me that one, only your actions. The consequences are of no concern. And if that's not, and what you're doing, then the greater being of yourself is emergent. You don't know what that is, but if, good gosh, if I did all of this by these actions, the way I truly desire, the greater being of me, of Patrick, would be, well, it doesn't matter what it would be. It would be as I truly desire, I'll tell you that now.
That's sure clear now, Roger.
That's what it's all about. And if you understand that, we'll quit while we're ahead.
Actually, that's
no.
Anybody want to say any more tonight? I'll go there and stop there rather than going into the next stuff. I got to stop one time while we're still ahead.
First time, isn't it?
Yeah, probably so. Okay, well, then if nobody has any more to add to that, we'll quit early tonight, and good night for now.